Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Sleeping arrangements. So, in our previous episode, we were in the Beit HaMoked. It was this large chamber of the hearth, that was it was called. It had a fire, and the purpose of the fire was to keep the kohanim warm. You see, these were stone structures, and they were going to spend the night. And these were kohanim are going to be working the next day. So if you were on duty the next day, you needed to be in the Beis HaMikdash the night before. You spent the night in the Beit HaMoked. Now, if you were in Beit Avtinas, which we talked about a couple of episodes ago, you might have been cold, or maybe you wore a coat. In all likelihood, the House of Spark, or Beit HaNitzot's Chamber of the Spark, didn't have a great deal of warmth, even if it had some hot coals. But in the Beit HaMoked, now this was a large area, call it the Kohen dormitory, the place they'd sleep. The Rambam begins the sixth halacha, sixth paragraph of the eighth chapter of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, by talking about the sleeping arrangements. He said, Lo hoya ha-kohanim ha-shomrim yeshenim bevigdei kohuna. You must know that the sleeping kohanim weren't sleeping in kohanic clothes. Now, this is quite fascinating because the Rambam chooses his words very carefully. He doesn't say, Lahoya ha-kohanim. He says, Lahoya ha-kohanim ha-shomerim, the kohanim on guard duty. An observation. We learned there were approximately 10 kohanim, or shall we say a minimum of 10 kohanim at each of these sacred watch stations. But there were many more than 10 kohanim who were going to be serving in the Beit HaMikdash the next day, and presumably everybody was there. It would seem to me that it's a given that the ordinary kohanim, meaning the kohanim who weren't on guard duty, weren't going to be wearing kohanic clothes. You don't just wear kohen clothing. These are sacred raiments. These are garments that are worn for a specific purpose. You wear them when you're on duty. But the kohanim ha-shomrim, the kohanim who are performing a duty, whilst it may not be avodah, and it's not during the day, but nonetheless, they're, after all, in the Beit HaMikdash, and they're part of a mitzvah. So they should be wearing bigdei kohuna. The Rambam says, no, they still wouldn't wear bigdei kohuna. Rather, mekaplim osam, they would fold up the bigdei kohuna, umanichen otan kineged roshem, they would place it at their heads, or near their heads. It wasn't a makeshift pillow. Let's take this halacha from the top. The first question is, why weren't these kohanim going to be wearing kohen clothing? Aren't they performing a duty? Interestingly, the Rambam himself doesn't comment on this at all. And I didn't find any of the traditional commentaries on the Rambam that would mention anything. However, Rashi, in Masechet Yoma, on page Samach Ches Amud Beis, the last Rashi on page 68, side B, says the following. He says, the Gemara is discussing what you can or can't do wearing these Kohanic raiments. And there's this idea that the Kohanim's clothing can only be worn when they're on active duty. And then the Gemara says, you know, that's a little bit impossible. The moment you're not on duty, you got to rip your clothes off. Like, how would that work? Kind of doesn't add up. Years ago, I was coming home from a police event. I don't even remember what it was. Maybe it was a graduation. So I officiated and I was there in uniform. And then when I got pulled over, it was an OPP officer. And he says to me, why are you wearing your police uniform? I said, because I'm a police chaplain. He says, well, I figured that out, but why are you wearing it in the car now? I said, I mean, I'm just driving home from from graduation. He starts to berate me. He says, you know, there's people who hate police officers. You could be beaten and shot, and you could be run off the road. I said, like, what did you want me to do? Get undressed in the parking lot? Like, what was I supposed to do? I come in a uniform, I go home in a uniform. I don't wear my police uniform otherwise. Like, yes, you should have gotten undressed in the parking lot. At least take your shirt off and your tunic and your shirt off. You can leave your pants on. I'm like, I just let him scream at me. Okay, whatever. It just like, it was an interesting experience because like when you're wearing a uniform, you don't just, how do you just pull your uniform off? It doesn't really go that way. Whenever I'm at a police event, if I have to be in uniform, I drive home in my uniform. So the Gemara says like this, Shina hu deloy. It doesn't say the Kohen can't wear Kohen clothing. It says he can't sleep in Kohen clothing. That's very different. It's very different. The question, of course, is why? What's the difference? So Rashi says it's not about being on duty or off duty. It's about not having control of your bodily functions. Rashi says that it is prohibited, it is proscribed from sleeping in Kohanic clothing, Shema Yafiach, lest you pass gas. Now, there are some people who can't control themselves anyway, but at night, you certainly, or when you're sleeping, you certainly can't control yourself. And we do all kinds of funny things when we're sleeping at night. And the understanding in this Rashi is that it would be a bizayon, it would be a disgrace to pass gas wearing Kohanim clothing. So you can't sleep in Kohen clothing. But the Rambam is pretty explicit about this. He doesn't say the Kohanim who aren't on guard duty, who just showed up to the Kohen dormitory because they're serving tomorrow morning. He says, we're talking about the Kohanim HaShomrim, the guard duty Kohanim. So when they're wearing their Kohen clothing, when they're on guard duty, if they're sleeping, they can't wear it. In other words, when they're not sleeping, they can wear it. It's only when they're sleeping that they can't. And it seems pretty clear from the Rambam that you can sleep and be on guard duty. Now, how would that work? Well, we'll get back to that. But first, why does the Rambam tell us that they had to fold their Kohanic clothing? So there's a sefer called Derech Chochma. He says something very interesting. We find terminology that's used with regard to priestly raiments, and we speak about the Kohanim wearing clothing in a manner that is, I think the terminology he uses is no'eh, beautiful. The Kohen's clothing is supposed to be resplendent. Crumpled clothing is never resplendent. In order to make sure clothing doesn't get crumpled, it needs to be folded. You know, there's an interesting halacha that we don't fold clothing on Shabbat. Because that's like a form of laundering or ironing. So what does a man do with his pants? You know, there's a question of putting them on the folds. The answer is you hang them on a nail. But if you crumple, leave your pants crumpled in the corner, on Shabbat morning, you're going to have crumpled looking pants. That could be a problem. You're not allowed to fold your talit, which means that the talit, by the time Matzoy Shabbos comes around, is pretty crumpled. So we make sure to fold it first thing, right after Maariv. We fold the talit, and when you leave it folded a whole week, because ideally you have a Shabbat talit, honoring Shabbat, it's nice and smooth all over again. So you have to fold things nicely. And the Derech Chochma says, that's why the Rambam specifically emphasizes the idea of Hoyu Mikaplim, that they would fold their clothing when they would put it near their heads. And here is something really interesting. L'cha'eira, ostensibly, why couldn't they put it under their heads, at least have a makeshift pillow? After all, we already heard about this idea, and we're going to hear about it more in a moment, that they're sleeping on the ground or on a stone protrusion. no fancy mattresses here. At least a pillow. Now, it doesn't say you can't bring a pillow there, and I don't know that they didn't have pillows. But it does say they were wearing their own clothing. It doesn't say they were sleeping naked. Levshim, big day. Atzmam, Rambam says. They wore their own clothing. You had your own embroidered priestly pajamas. Whatever. That's your business. So, why couldn't you put it under your head? Fold it and put it under your head. Well, first of all, it might get a little crumpled, but that's not what the Rambam says. So, very interestingly, the Rambam, in his commentary of the Mishnah, in Masechet Tamid, says like this. He says, the Mishnah's language, and of course the Rambam, when he wrote Mishnah Torah, used the same language, is keneged roshehen, near their heads, literally corresponding to, adjacent to, not under their heads. And he says the reason is because bigdei kohuna, the Kohanic raiments, have a mixture of wool and linen, and this is called shatnas. The Rambam says, Eine muter lahonas behem ela b'shas avoda. One is only permitted to wear this forbidden mixture when you're working in the base of Mikdash. Big day kohen hedyot, the clothing of the kohen hedyot, yesh behem shatnas. There's a mixture of wool and linen in the avnet, in the belt, which was actually a very long piece of cloth. And I don't know why you couldn't fold the avnet separately, or maybe the avnet, this sash, was wrapped around the clothing. At any rate, the Rambam says, you can't use it because we're not permitted to warm ourselves. And when you lay on something, you know, your head might sink into the pillow, and that would kind of bring the cloth up on the sides, and then it's like wearing it. It's like warming. And actually, you're not allowed to use blankets or bedding, which are made of shatnas. Certainly not pillows and blankets. And this leads us into a very interesting question. If you're not allowed to benefit from the shatnas, with the exception of at the time of the avoda, so if they weren't sleeping, they were wearing their clothing. Rambam is very clear. He says, "Lehoya hakoyanim ashoyim yeshenim bebigdei kohuna." They weren't sleeping. And as we just read, the Gemara Masechet Yoma on page Samaches says, "Yeshenim lehoyu." They weren't sleeping, but otherwise they can wear it. So this question is actually discussed by the Kesef Mishnah. Kesef Mishnah gives a very interesting comment on this. He says, we do see in the Gemara that mineged roshayim, it's clear in the Talmud, the Rambam is not making this up. He took this from the same source that says everything else that was corresponding against their heads, not underneath their heads. And kihechi delelisnei, they shouldn't benefit from the clothing of the Kohanim because it's a forbidden mixture of shatnas, wool and linen that we're not permitted to wear unless Hashem says, wear it. And that's only for Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Kesef Mishnah asks this very question. It says, the Beit Yosef Alpha gav the basar hochi mashma, even though after the Gemara says this, it intimates that big day kohuna nitnu lehenot mehem, that one is allowed to wear the uniform even for personal time. You don't have to rip your clothes off the second you're finished serving in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Kesef Mishnah says we can make a very interesting distinction. You can benefit from it when at least you look the part. So you're awake, you're conscious, you're standing, you're wearing the clothing. You may not be actively doing anything now, but you're wearing big dikuna in the same manner you would if you were serving. But to use big dikuna in a manner which is unnatural, for example, as a pillow, he said that's already out of the question. That's called benefiting from the big dikuna, and that would not be permitted. So we've kind of resolved a number of issues over here. We know why you can't sleep in these clothes when you're sleeping, but you can't wear them during the time you're not sleeping. We also understand why they fold the clothes and why makeshift pillows are not a good idea for big day kohuna. The big question that remains is, as we continue to learn this halacha, The Rambam says, Leivshim Bigdi Atzman, the Kohanim there would wear their own clothing, like I said, your own private line of priestly pajamas, that's fine. The Yeshenim Al Ha'aretz, they would sleep on the ground. Why would you sleep on the ground? That's like so undignified. Rambam says, well, actually, it's a royal fashion. Like the chatzros, the people who are in royal courtyards, at least in antiquity, they would always be on duty. There's a fellow I know who told me that he was in a very high level of Israeli commandos. And after he finished his army service, he was in a part of a special unit that was on duty to protect innocent people from these monster terrorists. And he said he was able to be dressed in his boots. I think he slept in his boots or something crazy like that. He can be ready literally within, I don't know, it was like 160 seconds. In 160 seconds, he slept half awake, and he could be ready to respond within something extraordinary like that. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about to be in a high state of readiness. So you're on the ground. You're not making yourself comfortable, but I think that's the way I understand this. That's the derech. Sheyeshenu al ha'aretz, and I guess I suppose that was once upon a time that was the case, so that's how it was. So of course the derech chochma asks the question, so 1 second. But some of the commentaries maintain that when you're sleeping, you're not a shomer. You're not on duty. Now we're going to talk about this in a few minutes. But Derech Chochma says, even if you're not on duty, and that is one of the opinions, nonetheless, at least you have to be like you're on duty. Even if you're not actively on duty, it's like you're on duty. So the Rambam finishes off and he says, V'loi sheyishnu al amitas. That necessarily precludes sleeping on beds. No sleeping on beds. So this brings us back to our big question, and this is the final big question we have to answer today. What is up with the sleeping watch? If you're sleeping, you're not guarding. If you're guarding, you're not sleeping. Or are you? Now the Rambam, a little bit later on in this very chapter, he says that you must know that there was a special man called Ish Har HaBayis, the Temple Mount man. And his job was to go, Machazir al-Kol Mishmer u'Mishmer, he'd go around from watch to watch the whole night long. He had this big torch in hand. And he would call out and he would say to the people, hello, shalom. And if they didn't respond, he would know they're sleeping. And if they wouldn't stand up first and greet him, it says that he would beat them up. It would come to blows. And not only that, he had permission to ignite the hem of their clothing. And they'd wake up with a fire. And they used to say that in Yerushalayim, they'd hear a scream, ah, coming from the Temple Mount. And they said, some Levi fell asleep. Kol ben Levi loka. So this is the question. It says Ben Levi. It doesn't say Ben Cohen. Very interestingly, a little bit later, in the next set of halachas of the Rambam, which is called Hilchas Klei HaMikdash V'Ha'Evdim, there in the seventh chapter, halacha Dalad, the fourth paragraph, it says, talks about people who had different responsibilities. Now there it says that Ish HaRabayis Mesavev Al HaLeviim B'Chol Laila. He would go checking out the Levites. Now, it seems very clear that the Levites can't be sleeping. And if the Levites are sleeping, they get beat up or fired up. They say, well, that's the Levites. Doesn't say the Kohanim. And we see this in the Tosfos Yom Tov. The Mishnah in Masechet Midot says, talks about this Ish HaRabayis. He's actually the second Mishnah in the first chapter of Masechet Midot. It talks about the torches. And it says, any mishmer that didn't rise and greet Niker Shehu Yashen, it seems he's sleeping, and he can smack him up, he can strike him, he can burn him, burn his clothes. And the Mishnah says, Hey Maimrim, Makel Bazara, what's that voice? Kol Ben Levi. So the Tosfos Yom Tov says something very interesting. He says, when it says Ben Levi la'afuki mishmeres ha'koyanim, this doesn't include the Kohanim then. The Levites had to be awake. The Kohanim didn't. And he says, the Shilte HaGeboirim, which is written by a famous scholar and physician from Manitoba, his name is Avraham Arefe. He wrote a famous commentary called Shilte HaGeboirim. And in Shilte HaGeboirim, he says, he argues with the Bartanura in Masechet Shkolim. The Bartanura in Masechet Shkolim seems to suggest that both Kohanim and Levim could be struck. Shilte HaGeboirim says, no. Only Levim, not Kohanim. They're the more honored pedigree. Which brings us back to the question, all right, if Levites can't sleep, why can the Kohanim sleep? After all, it would make sense to say that when you are on duty, you're not sleeping. And if you're sleeping, but then you're not on duty. The Mishnah LeMelech, he gets really fired up about this. And he says, look, I hear what you're saying about the beating, but it makes no sense to me that he would only go after the Levites and not go after the Kohanim. It just doesn't make sense to me. Well, in that case, why does it say Levites? Well, it says Levites because out of 24 places, 21 were Levites. Anyway, the Kohanim are part of the Levite clan. It seems to me, says the Mishnah LeMelech, the Kohanim who were watching on guard, on duty, they were also not sleeping. Even the Ikar Mitzvah Shemitah, she Yenudin. The main thing is they should be awake. Man nishtana ha-Kohanim el-Levim. What sense, what logic is it to say, the Kohanim, they could sleep. The Levites have to be awake. It makes sense that you say they have to be awake. So how do we figure this out? But then it says they were sleeping. They weren't sleeping in their own clothes. Talks about where they were sleeping. And the language of the Rambam is most difficult because the Rambam's language is very specific. Lehoya ha-koyanim ha-shoimrim, the koyanim who were sleeping. So Maharam Kaziz, in his commentary of the Mishnah, he says, I'm sorry, Levim is Levim and not koyanim. And the Rambam's language is precise. The Rambam says he would go after the Levites. Says that clearly. And because it says it clearly, that's what it means. And don't confuse it. He says, look, the Rambam's language is Misaviv al ha-Levim. The Levim had to be awake. The Kohanim did not have to be awake. The Kohanim were allowed to sleep. How do we understand this? Truth is, I don't think it's that difficult to understand. Because if you go back to some of the episodes prior, we've been over the last couple of days developing this idea of the mindfulness and presence. So somebody who's like a member of the family, he's there. It's like, you know, say people have an elder grandparent or that's alone. One of the grandchildren stays with them. So they're not alone. Kohanim are like special. They could sleep. They were like, you know, B'nai Bayit, if you will. They were the... They were locals. They belonged to the Beis HaMikdash. They were the palace children. So the priestly palace children, their being there is good enough. The Levites are not so unique, not so special. They're already like outsiders. The Levites have to be awake. I don't think it's illogical. But the Mishnah LeMelech doesn't like this. The Mishnah LeMelech, therefore, has a number of suggestions. He says, first of all, it's possible that since we had multiple Kohanim, like 10 Kohanim, the Rambam says, that one or two had to be awake and the rest of them could be sleeping. So, you know, even what the Mishnah LeMelech is saying, it doesn't say some of the Levites could be sleeping. Even the Mishnah LeMelech is going to have to accept that difference. Another suggestion he makes is that the Kohanim were given a specific time to sleep. So he said, okay, you can sleep from 2 to 4 in the morning, I don't know. And if you weren't up, you'd get yourself into big trouble. Okay, either way, somebody had to be up. And somebody was sleeping, even if you had a lot of time, it still meant that the Kohanim was sleeping. And it seems pretty clear that once we understand this concept of the guard duty, the honor guard, as mindfulness, as presence, even if somebody isn't awake. The very fact that they're present and there lends a certain credibility and a certain importance to the Beis HaMikdash. It shows that Hashem's holy home is never forgotten and never neglected by us. Really and truly, this kind of brings it all to a head. Each one of these halachot has built on the other. And when you listen to all of this and think about it carefully, it seems, at least to me, to come together in perfect synchronicity. It sings off the pages, just makes good sense. And it gives us an appreciation of this unique mitzvah and the great holiness and the reverence that we must afford Hashem's holy home. And as I mentioned, whilst we may not have the Beis HaMikdash materially, the fact that you and I and so many others around the world continue to study about the Beis HaMikdash and think about the Beit HaMikdash and debate the realities that were, this is the mindfulness, which is like a proverbial shmirah. We are not allowing the Beit HaMikdash to fade into the dustbin of history. We keep its structure, its idea, its rules, its rituals, its laws, and its lore alive. And doing this keeps the Beis HaMikdash in a very real way as a part of our life, as a part of our consciousness. It sews it into the quilt work of our Yiddishkeit, love and loyalty to Hashem. And hopefully, as a result of this, along with all the other mitzvahs we're doing and the prayers that we give ear to, that we will be zeicha, we will merit, b'mheira u'b'yameinu, speedily, and in our time, to see the Beis HaMikdash rise once again in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, on the Har HaBayit, and to see the Kohenim and Leviim take up their positions, quite literally fulfilling Hashem's mitzvahs and ensuring that Hashem's presence amongst us is given the proper respect and the glory and reverence that Hashem allows us the privilege of affording Him. May all this be b'mheira u'b'yameinu speedily, and in our days, amen. Thank you for joining. Please come back again.